Welcome to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be. Our topic for today is weight loss made fun, and the numbers to call if you want to talk about losing weight, feeling great, and having fun along the way are 1-866-254-1579. It's toll-free, 866-254-1579. Or from outside the United States, you can reach the show on 001-760-918-4300.
Hello.
We have a special surprise guest.
Hello, can I just hear you?
Surprise to me as well. I think we can hear you, Paul. I don't know if you guys can
hear me. Oh, sorry, yes. Am I on?
You are on. And you've just blown your introduction. I was about to say all this nice stuff about you. And my guest is Paul McKenna, who's the host of the TLC hit show, I Can Meet You Then. So I'm gathering we're having difficulties with Paul.
Yeah,
Paul, can you hear me?
Sorry, I should do this big burst of static noise. I can just about hear you. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, welcome.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to be on the show.
And one of my favorite subjects, weight loss.
So now tell me, I Can Make You Thin, the book, and between the book and the TV show and the years that you've been helping people lose weight, how many people would you say have been exposed to your weight loss over the years?
It's millions all over the world. The I Can Make You Thin book has sold a million copies or thereabouts in the UK. It's kicked off now in Germany and Italy. The television show has had huge ratings in the United States, and the website has become extremely popular as well.
Website is that McKenna.com?
McKenna.com, and my system is there. There are lots of free videos that show you how to do things like overcome emotional eating, to stop cravings, to feel better about your body. I'm very proud of it. It's helping a lot of people. There's also discussion boards as well, so you can talk to people and get support and ask questions and things like that.
Okay,
and it's free.
And it's free. Let's begin just for people who aren't familiar with your what I would call a very inside out approach and an intuitive approach to weight loss. I know I'm not going to pretend I don't know the system, because of course
you edited the book.
Exactly, but. But let's just run through for people at the heart of the system, the four golden rules.
Yes. Well, I mean, I think, first of all, I should say it's very different to a diet. I was, helping people lose weight, and I was doing it just like a hypnotist would, by putting people into a trance and telling them to eat less and move your body more, which is, the essence of how you do it. But a friend of mine said, "This really works." I said, "Well, I know it does." He goes, "No, you don't understand. I've tried all the diets and none of them work." I went, "Well, I don't work for everyone." He goes, "Well, I don't know anyone really who's had success with the diets." Anyway, I looked at the overwhelming medical evidence, and diets have a success rate on average of just 9%, because people can't keep the weight off over time. I then put my system through, these are not small groups. These are large groups, about 150 people. Through two independent studies, and the success rate was 71% in both studies.
So, don't crow. That's only 62% better.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to have to live with it. But, so it doesn't work for everyone, but it works for most people most of the time. And I haven't been able to find anything else that works as well. And diets are all about the external. They're don't eat this food, but do eat that. There's 2,000 diets in print, and they've been popular for a long time, certainly for the last 50 years. And while people have been starving themselves on diets, the world the Western world has gotten fatter. In the United States and the UK, it's something like 50% of the population is actually overweight now. And so it's not just, and this is not me saying this, these are the scientists saying this, it's not just that diets don't work. The majority of people, when they come off a diet, end up actually more overweight than before they went on it. So diets are the problem. Now, I'm not bashing the competition. I mean, I'm saying that actually the whole mentality is the problem. So when you make it about the food and the external, very small proportion of people can actually successfully make that work for them. Most people, not only fail, they end up worse off. So mine is, I love the way you say it, an inside-out approach. So it's rather than trying to change the food, you change yourself on the inside. And it's very simple. You change make some simple changes in the way you think and the way you behave around food. And the results are, for most people, miraculous. The four golden rules are very simple. No, the first one is, when you're hungry, go and eat. Because when you starve yourself, your body thinks there's a famine on and it freaks out. And it goes into survival mode, actually slows your metabolism. So you lose weight in the short term, sure. But, of course, you are in the long term, because you've slowed your metabolism, you whack on the weight. This is why, you know, people find it so good after they've done four or five diets, so easy, rather, to put on weight. Nobody suddenly, you know, wakes up 50 pounds overweight, you know, overnight. They've usually done it through serial dieting. So right. I say, when you're hungry, go and eat.
One of the things that I know that people say, when I first say to them, you know, hey, here's a plan, when you're hungry, go and eat, but they go, but I'm never hungry.
Ah, now, many people that have dieted have actually desensitized themselves. And so they're not, you know, because if you've starved, of course, you will have binged as well. And you'll have ended up dampening the signals. But as soon as what you need to do at first, really, is just guess. And there is a difference between real physical hunger and emotional hunger. So when I say, when you're hungry, go and eat, physical hunger comes on gradually. Ooh, I feel a bit hungry. Oh, I might eat in half an hour. So emotional hunger is very sudden, and it's, I feel upset, I know I'll have some chocolate, or I feel bored, I know I'll have some chips or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, it also usually accompanies some sort of an external event, something happens.
Yes, that's right. You know, people get home, they think, oh, I'm lonely, I hate my life, I know I'll have some food to cheer up, or I've had a stressful day at the office, I'll use food to try and change my mood now. And so that's, you know, that's not physical hunger, that's emotional hunger. So when you're truly physically hungry, go and eat. Rule number two is very simple. Eat what you want, not what you think you should. Now, again, you know, the whole dieting mentality is that some foods are bad and some foods are good. And I think as soon as you make a food forbidden, it becomes all you can think about. And so, you know, why suddenly put that unnecessary pressure in there? If you want a particular food, have it. Look at all the thin people. They all eat chocolate, chips, cheese, you know, pizza, all the forbidden foods. But, of course, they don't eat them to excess. So it can't
I remember
be about
years
the
ago when I first came
amount.
Across the when I first came across the Atkins plan, and you know, Nina and I, my wife and I, you know, did it, and all I could think, I dreamed about French fries.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look at him. You know, I mean, he was morbidly obese when he died, God rest his soul. But, you know, I'm not a fan of the Atkins diet. In fact, I'm not a fan of any diet. But certainly, the research recently has shown that you need some carbohydrates to help you make serotonin, you know. So, you know, I just...
And serotonin being the actual chemical that makes you feel good.
That's right. You need it for happy chemicals. And so, yeah, I mean, I think if you want a particular food, go have it. Now, when I say thin people eat, you know, chocolate chips and cheese, I usually hear in response from people, they go, ah, but they've got a fast metabolism. True, they have. They haven't altered their metabolism through relentless dieting. But what we do know is that metabolism is not fixed. You can absolutely speed your metabolism up. And what will speed it up, of course, is very simple, feeding yourself when you're truly hungry and taking exercise. What will slow your metabolism is starving yourself, because your body thinks there's a famine on, so it has to, you know, suddenly conserve as much fat as it can. So the first rule is, when you're hungry, go and eat. The second rule is, eat what you want, not what you think you should. And the third rule is really the most important in the entire system, which is, whenever you eat anything, eat it consciously. Now, that means slowly, and it means without any distraction. Enjoy every mouthful. I've noticed a curious thing about people that are overweight. They think about food all the time, except when they're actually eating it. And then they shovel the food into their mouths as fast as they can. And that is not because they're greedy. A lot of people go, oh, no, I'm a greedy person. No, 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 it's not. When we do anything that reinforces our survival, we release things like serotonin, happy neurotransmitter. And so if you're shoveling in food fast, you're getting high on the serotonin. However, unfortunately, you'll be going so fast and you'll be so high on all the serotonin that you won't be able to hear the signal from your tummy that says you're full. The other thing as well is a lot of people watch television and they, you know, or they'll read a magazine or listen to the radio when they're eating. And of course, they're not then focusing consciously on the food. We know through the research, if you watch television and you eat, you will eat more. If you read a magazine and you eat, you will eat more. There's a wonderful book by a brilliant American scientist, Professor Brian Wansink, called Mindless Eating, where he has gathered a number of experiments, and indeed, you know, some of his own are in there, that show the effect of being unconscious around eating and how we eat more. So basically, if you slow your eating speed down to a quarter and you chew the food at least 20 times, it becomes very difficult to overeat if you focus on the food and nothing else. If you just
and of course, one of the things that really makes it work, in my experience, is that because you're actually paying attention to what you're eating, you want to eat good food.
because
suddenly you can taste it.
You know, the really neat thing is that many people say their preferences change because if, say, they were eating lots of fast food, they're basically getting high on the sugar and the salt and in the fast food. And again, I don't care whether you eat fast food or not, but you know, if you're not eating because you're enjoying that food, you're just eating to change how you feel because you're getting high on sugar and salt. You're treating food like a drug more than you know, something to nourish you. And so a lot of people report their preferences change, but also when people are eating food they like, if they're chewing it slowly and consciously, it tastes so much better, and you just feel so much more in control. So slow your eating speed to about a quarter, taste every mouthful, no television, no radio. If you drink alcohol at the same time as eating, I would suggest that you don't drink the alcohol afterwards, but don't drink it before. The whole point of alcohol is to make you less conscious. And, you know, if you can't go half an hour without having a drink, you know, while you're eating, you've got a much bigger problem than food. So, you know, you might want to get
involved with
that.
Okay, so I'm eating when I'm hungry. I'm eating what I actually want, not what I think I should have. I'm eating consciously.
Yes.
At some point, surely I have to stop.
Now, great question, because rule number four is when you think you're full, stop eating. Now, this is an interesting one, because some people say, I'm just not sure. And I say, for the first few days, guess. But when you slowed your eating speed and you're chewing the food, it's much easier to hear the signal from your tummy that says you're full. When you're slamming the food in really fast, there's a delay between the signal from your tummy to your brain. And so if you're going really, really fast, it's easy to override that signal and eat past the full signal. But when you eat really slowly, it's very difficult to. In fact, people are actually often quite astounded. They go, God, normally I'd finish all of that pasta, but I can begin to hear the full signal because I'm eating slowly and I don't want to eat any more. And I just can't emphasize enough, the slowing the eating speed makes the signal stronger. And of course, like anything, like a muscle, the more you use it, the stronger it gets. The more you listen to that signal that says you're full, the easier it is to hear it, and the more difficult it is to overeat.
So basically, it's almost like finding the balance between sort of getting your hunger signal working again and getting your full signal to work again.
Yes, it is that. And it's also the relation. I mean, it's learning to sort of create a trusting relationship with your body. I mean, the other thing as well that I should say is, you know, I should point out as well is that I see the food as very much the symptom. And, you know, that very often people who are overweight, changing the way they feel with food. You know, by the way, everyone in our culture virtually is changing the way they feel by some external means: drinking, drug taking, gambling, sex, shopping, all these sorts of things. And of course, food is really the Western world's drug of choice right now, because it's relatively inexpensive and easily available. So, you know, lots of people want to change the way they feel with food. And that's why it's one of the reasons I mentioned my website at the very beginning of this interview, because not just because, you know, I want to promote
McKenna.
It, but actually because there are
McKenna.
Three techniques.
Com.
There's an extraordinary technique called TFT, which involves tapping. focusing on acupuncture points. It's a technique developed by a brilliant American psychologist, Roger Callahan. And this helps you to significantly take control of emotional overwhelm. When you're not feeling emotionally overwhelmed, then you're less likely to go and change how you feel with food.
Okay. Now, Paul, I know you're busy, and we're coming up on a break, so I just want to make sure we've talked about if people want to learn more. Now, in the UK Europe, it sounds like they can get the book. If they want to learn the system in the U.S., what's the best way?
Well, you can go and read about it, and you can get some of the techniques, you know, just a small number of them for free on McKenna.com. However, if you really want to, you could buy my book and CD in the UK and in parts of Europe. In the US, there is a DVD and CD set that you can also purchase from the website, and it's got it there. It's like a personal session with me.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you want to get in, I'm going to be taking calls starting in the next segment. The number's to call 1-866-254-1579. Toll free outside the United States, 001-760-918-4300. We'll be right back with your calls after this.
1, 2, 3, hit it. Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about weight loss made fun. We just had Paul McKenna with us in the last segment. We're about to take calls about how you can make your weight loss experience more effective and more enjoyable. Now, just before I go to the phones, I do want to just say a little bit about this whole made fun thing. Because I got a bunch of mail when the show notice went out. People on my forums came on and they were kind of going, made fun? What do you mean made fun? Weight loss made fun? There's a reason why I'm big on making things fun. And part of it is because it's fun, but part of it is also practical. If you enjoy something, do you tend to do more of it or less of it? Now, most people would say, well, we do more of it. And if you do more of something, do you tend to get better at it or worse? Well, again, most people say, well, no, I get better at it. And if you're getting better and better at something, do you tend to get better results? Well, yeah, of course, it's kind of logical. Now, similarly, if we flip that, we can go, wow, if I don't enjoy something, then I'll tend to do it less and less, and I'll tend to get worse at it, I'll tend to get worse results. So, you know, most people have weight loss set up as this huge struggle in their lives. And one of the reasons that I really love the Paul McKenna system, the I Can Make You Thin system, is because it instead of turning your body or turning food into the enemy, it actually makes your body your best friend. Your body becomes your guide as to what to eat, when to eat, how much to eat. And so one of the big benefits, besides the fact that people lose weight, and people lose, I've seen personally, you know, people lose over 100 pounds on the system. But what's really wonderful is they actually start liking themselves and start enjoying their own company so much more from the very beginning, even before the weight starts to come off. And I think that's one of the real payoffs. Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Kenley in New York. Kenley, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
You know, my question wasn't at all about weight loss, but I'm kind of feeling like maybe I should go with the flow of the show and talk about it, because I've actually been on a little bit of a personal weight loss program in the last week and a half.
Can you speak up for me just a bit, Ken?
Yeah, sure. Maybe it's the speakerphone. Let me come. Not speakerphone.
It's okay. I'm trying to do the show from a hotel in the UK, and so we're having a few technical difficulties.
All right. Is that better?
That is. Thank you.
All right. So I'm not particularly overweight, but I tend to gain weight and lose weight fast. And a couple weeks ago, put on some jeans, and they were way tighter than they used to be, and that was a serious bummer. And it seemed like it was going to be a lot harder this time to take it off, because I'm a little older, and I'm a little more busy, and it's funny when you said to make it fun, because the only thing that makes it fun for me is when I see results.
So let's talk about each one of those things in order.
Yeah.
Okay, so the first thing that you said is you put on your jeans, and they felt tight, and that was a bummer. And isn't it interesting that you can give your jeans power over whether you get to feel happy or sad?
Personally,
If I'm going to empower anybody besides myself to control my feelings, it's not going to be my jeans.
You know, I hear
that. They haven't earned it. They haven't earned the right to make me feel bad. This is the first thing. Is I would certainly consider the idea that, hey, if I feel bad about it, maybe I'll change it. Because that's the first thing that most of us do. We go, I know how to motivate myself. I'll kick myself in the head repeatedly. That'll do it.
Oh, I do that a lot.
Yeah, I know. We all do. But look, what it actually does is it leaves you with a sore head and not much change. Because your head's so sore, you don't really want to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing is nobody has ever long-term been motivated by beating themselves up. It can get you off your butt. It can get you into action briefly. But after that, it becomes useless. It's like, you know, if you need that extra little push just to get started, just to overcome the inertia,
mm-hmm.
that can work.
Mm-hmm.
But you're never going to stick with anything long-term if the way that you get yourself to do it is by punching yourself in the face. Just a little rule of thumb.
That works for everything, I think, actually, right?
So the first thing is, you know, what happens if, and this is a question, you know, to answer in your life, not necessarily on the phone,
mm-hmm.
but what happens if, instead of beating yourself up as a way of motivating yourself, you decide that you're going to motivate yourself by finding ways to make the entire process more pleasurable, more fun, more joyful, and happier than you've ever been before.
That's awesome.
Okay, well, I'm going to suggest that one then. Now, the second thing that you said, you said these back-to-back, and you said them so casually as if they must be true. You know, it's going to be hard now because I'm older and I'm busy. So apparently two of the key determinants to your ability to lose weight, and I understand, I'm saying it slightly tongue-in-cheek, but mm-hmm. but when you hear it the way I hear it, I hear these things and I go, wow, that's, you know, your age, over time, with age,
mm-hmm.
What happens with a lot of people is their metabolism slows.
Mm-hmm.
And so because their metabolism slows, they tend to put on weight.
Right.
And they think that the connection is age. But it's not age, it's inactivity. And in fact, the reason that there seems to be a connection is because for many people, as they get older, they become less and less active.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, there's nothing that you've told me yet. You don't quite sound like you're standing around in a walker.
No, I just finished yoga and my wife handed me the phone because she called you and I had no idea what was going on. So I'm in my yoga high right now.
So one thing to know is age isn't the obstacle. Inactivity can be an obstacle, but then if your motivation is to have fun, getting active in ways that you're going to enjoy isn't necessarily a problem. And I'll talk a bit more about that a bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other thing you said is you're busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what, for you, the connection with your level of busyness and being able to lose weight is. I mean, if you were too busy to eat, you'd probably lose lots of weight.
Yeah. I'm definitely not too busy to eat.
Okay.
It's more like, it's not even too busy, it's just the choices that, let's say, for the last few months I was making to get me to that point where I was thinking I need to lose weight was, you know, I'm a musician, I'm an artist, I write music, I write songs, I rehearse with my band, I do things like that, and when I'm making those choices, it's, for instance, do I stay up late working on a song, or do I get to sleep and get up early and start? You know, it's about time management, I'm guessing.
Okay, so yeah, there's something about getting into a mode where you let your activity override your awareness of what's going on with your body.
Mm-hmm.
And all I would suggest is in relation to this, and whether you decide to apply the system that I've helped dozens of people with this system. I've watched hundreds of people be helped with this system. You know, I've read emails from thousands of people who've been helped with the system, so I certainly recommend it. But even if you decide you've got a way of losing weight that you kind of are happy with, and yeah, all it really takes is when you're actually going through, when you decide to eat, is just stopping and checking in. And really, there's only a couple of questions you need to ask yourself. And the first question is, am I actually hungry, or do I just want to change the way I feel?
Mm-hmm.
And if you just want to change the way you feel, change the way you feel.
Right.
You know, put a smile on your face. You know, start a nice gentle tapping on your chest. If you count down two ribs and tap and look up at the ceiling and put a nice smile on your face, you'll start to feel good in about 20 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
You just, you know, think a happy thought. Think about someone you love, someone that loves you. You know, go for a run. Do a bit of yoga. You know, those are all ways to change the way you feel.
Mm-hmm.
If it's that. Now, if it's that you're hungry, well, great. get something to eat. So then the second question that becomes really important is, well, what do I want?
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll find is the more you just take the time to ask yourself, in fact, I would go one stage further than what do you want. The question I love to ask is, what would I love to have right now?
Mm-hmm.
Now, sometimes, you know, you're going to be in your basement or your studio, and you know what you'd love to have is a nice steak, and what's in the fridge is a Pop-Tart.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of, you know, if you actually want to do something about it, so you fill your fridge with some different foods. And by the way, one of the things that I absolutely recommend, one of the first things that I recommend to people when they start eating in this way, is that you go to your fridge, you go to your kitchen, and you get rid of every food in your kitchen that you don't love.
Hmm.
Now, that's the opposite. You know, a lot of diet plans, they go, get rid of all the fattening foods, get rid of all the starchy foods, get rid of all the forbidden foods. Well, because there aren't any forbidden foods, there's no reason to ever eat anything that you don't actually like.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, if you do find yourself kind of, you know, suddenly noticing, oh, God, I'm hungry. Do I want to change the way I feel, or am I actually hungry? Oh, no, I'm actually hungry. Then whatever's there is going to be something wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You willing to give it a go?
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
I think just being conscious while I eat really helps me.
Yeah, and that really is the key for everyone. Is that the more you pay attention, the you know, none of us are really stupid. We just get stupid sometimes. We get into a stupid state of mind where we stop paying attention to ourselves and start doing things that we kind of know aren't going to work for us.
Mm-hmm.
And just that act of slowing down, at least enough to begin to notice what's going on and that you're putting food in your mouth, will bring your sort of inner wisdom to the surface.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll start, you won't even have to think about it. You'll just start making better choices.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
All right. Thanks for phoning
in.
Thank your wife for phoning in for you.
I will.
And you're welcome back anytime, Kenley.
All right. Thanks. Be well, Michael.
Okay. Let's go to Sarasota, Florida, and let's go to Lori. Lori, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Hi. Well, it was really pretty amazing because I was just coming out of listening to Paul's CD. And turned on Hay House to see who was on because I wasn't sure of the schedule. And you were on, and I enjoy listening to your show. So when you said you had a surprise guest and it was going to be Paul, I actually just kind of automatically picked up the phone and started dialing and shocked that I got through. So I figured there was definitely a reason for it.
It's meant to be, Lori. This call is meant to be.
It was so unbelievably meant to be. But I guess, you know, it was funny because I just started reading his book. I've tried to get everything on his website that I could get from him and on YouTube that I can get from him. And so I guess if I ever had the opportunity to sit and ask him a question, I would probably ask him something like, you know, I'm 40 years old last year, and I've been heavy since I was five,
mm-hmm.
since I had my tonsils out at five. And I've had a couple of sensitive, intuitive, psychic people tell me that the reason why I'm heavy is because I stuff my feelings. I guess the first 5 or 10 times it didn't quite resonate with me, and then as I keep hearing it, I guess it does.
But somewhere around the 128th time someone said it to you.
You know, if God doesn't hit you with a feather, he hits you with a brick.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, so I need the entire house. So I have definitely seen a difference in the way I'm consciously eating, but I also have children that I've tried not to say the things to them that my mother said to me growing up, so hopefully they wouldn't end up with the same eating issues. And they're boys, so they kind of haven't, but yet they're still both heavy. So I'm hoping that something that I can learn that I can then teach them so that they don't have the same adulthood that I've had. But
sure.
My thing
Lori,
is...
Lori, the first thing is, it's never too late. This isn't something that magically stops working at 40. I was saying to Kenley a short time ago, the myth that age is what causes you to put on weight, it's not age, it's
no,
the loss of activity. So that's not an issue. And, you know, and the same thing for kids. Look, of course you want better for your kids. I think everyone, no matter how good a life they've had, wants at least as good or better for their kids. And absolutely, you're following the right path, which is by learning to take better care of yourself, you're creating a model for your kids. Because the one thing I really realized, my dad died in a car accident about, 16 years ago now. And the one thing that I remember really getting when he died is that I haven't necessarily learned much of what he taught me, but I had totally learned who he was. And so it's less about, okay, I must learn these techniques so I can pass them on. Yeah, they're great techniques. But, you know, when I see someone, you know, when your kids look at you and they see mom taking care of herself, they see her caring, they see her continuing to being willing to try new things and learn new things, even at her age, that's the lesson they're going to get from you. And that's one of the most wonderful lessons you could give your children, no matter what.
That makes sense.
You know, so, and as far as the emotional eating, I think really that's the number one thing that I see for everyone. I mean, almost everyone is that they confuse the purpose of eating from, you know, getting pleasure and nourishing your body to making yourself feel better. And as Paul called it, you know, most people's drug of choice, it's as with most drugs, it has some side effects that aren't necessarily what we want. So the intention is great. I want to feel better. But there are so many more wonderful strategies for feeling good. And so what I would just encourage you to do, your homework, would be just to begin to notice when you want to feel better, don't just not eat. Make it fun for yourself by actually taking some time out, even if it's just a couple minutes, to go inside and feel good.
Yeah,
and just
that
focus
makes sense.
On things that make you feel good and do that. Would you be willing to play with that at least for a week?
Absolutely.
All right, Lori, we're coming up on another break. Thank you so much for calling. Do you want to get in the last segment? It's a pleasure. Do you want to get in the last segment? Numbers to call, 866-254-1579, toll-free, 866-254-1579. Outside the United States, 760-918-4300. We'll be right back after this.
One, two, three, hit it!
Welcome back to You Can Have What You Want with your host, Michael Neal.
We are back. We're talking about making weight loss fun. Actually, we're talking technically about weight loss made fun, and we're talking to you. So let's go right back to the phones. Let's go to Jennifer in LaSalle, Ontario. Jennifer, welcome to the show. What can I do for you today?
Oh, hi, Mike. I was about a year ago. I've been overweight probably for the last, 20 years, and I knew that it was all emotionally entwined. So what I did is I went for a session of hypnosis.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that would get to the root of it, but it never actually did. Is there a reason that why hypnosis wouldn't work if it's an emotional issue?
You know what? There's two main reasons that I come across as to why hypnosis doesn't work. And the first one is the hypnotist, because there's no such thing as hypnosis. In other words, there's a process that people use to help you get more relaxed, to speak directly to your unconscious mind, and to work on your mind programming. And the effectiveness is almost entirely based on simply the skill level of that particular person. The other main obstacle, and that's not to say that that person might not have skill, it's just that their skill wasn't sufficient to do the work with you,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason. Then the second reason that I see where hypnosis doesn't have the effects that hypnosis can have and does have for many people is what people have made up in their head about what it is. Because people have all these interesting ideas. We're teaching an NLP and hypnosis seminar in London right now. And it's fascinating what people think, what people expect hypnosis to be like. And one of my colleagues was telling me that he had a child come into the office, a 12-year-old. And he said, Do you know why you're here? And the boy said, well, I'm here because you're going to hypnotize me. And he said, and do you know what hypnosis is? And the boy said, yes. And he said, okay, so how will you know that you've been hypnotized? And the boy said, because I'll see a dartboard. My friend thought, okay, interesting, not the answer I expected. And then he said, okay, and anything else? Yeah, I'll know I'm hypnotized because I'll see a dartboard and you'll hand me a dart. Friends think, okay, this is obviously some deep message from this child's unconscious mind. And he says, okay, anything else? And the boy says, yeah, I'll know I'm hypnotized because I'll see a dartboard, and you'll hand me a dart, and I'll roll it back and forth and back and forth inside my hand. And so the guy's totally fascinated now, and he just wants to keep going. So he's like, okay, anything else, anything else? And, so, and the little boy says, yeah, and then you'll tell me to kill someone. And my friend's like, hang on, where is all this coming from? You know, and he says to the little boy, he says, where did you get the idea that that's what hypnosis is? And the kid said, I saw it on The Simpsons.
On The Simpsons.
You know, and while not all of our ideas about hypnosis and what it is are that out there, very often one of the things that I find is people think, because I still remember things, or because I could hear the hypnotist's voice, or because I didn't feel completely relaxed, you know, it didn't work. Now, in your case, I would say it didn't work because you didn't get the result that you were after.
That's what I think.
So what I would suggest, and this is, you know, this is a sort of a simple, we could go all psychological here, but I prefer simple. And so what I would simply suggest is grab a copy of I Can Make You Thin. You can pick it up for, I think, probably about $10 online.
Mm-hmm.
In the back of it is a hypnosis CD, or I think there's even a download available, which is just, you know, Paul is brilliant at this. And use it in conjunction with the system. Because one of the things is, you know, one of the problems of diets, there are a lot of reasons that I'm not a fan of diets. Paul's even more anti-diet than I am. But one of the reasons I'm not a fan of diets is because there's no one-size-fits-all way to eat. Something which may be brilliant advice for one person may be terrible advice for someone else. And even with that, something which may have been great for you in March might not be what your body needs in April. And so what I'm going to suggest is that if you start letting your body guide your food choices, and there's another wonderful book that I recommend sometimes called Intuitive Eating, which is very similar in terms of letting your body be your guide. What you'll find is a few things. You'll find that your body and food start, I mentioned this at the beginning, but your body and food start to become friends instead of enemies. And in that, there's an inherent relaxation. And in that relaxation, that allows a lot of the changes that the hypnosis is designed to bring about to just happen naturally.
If the root of your eating issues was, say, a result of something, because he did do one regression, and he said, go back to the time where you started having the issues with food, and I could see my brother, who was one, and myself would be two at the time. But that's all we did, was go back to that place. If that were the issue, should I not address that first? Or,
you know what?
If I do
this
program,
this
it won't matter.
Perhaps counterintuitive. In my experience, no. I mean, look, if it happened to work, there's nothing wrong with doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is, the reason that you keep weight on now is because of the food that you put in your body and your metabolism level. If you change those two things, your body will change,
mm-hmm.
whether or not you've resolved what happened at the age of one. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm not saying there might not be some psychological value in dealing with it. I'm saying it's not a prerequisite to losing weight.
Okay. Well,
so really what I would say in the context of this show, if that sounds really fun to you, to go in and sort all that out,
no,
sure, why not? But unless it does, I wouldn't bother.
Okay,
just a personal opinion.
Great, I appreciate that.
Okay, thank you for phoning in,
thank
Jennifer.
You. All right, bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Karen in the other Hollywood, Florida. Welcome to the show, Karen. What can I do for you today?
Hello, Michael.
Hello.
My question is, of course, on emotional eating. And I'd like to know your opinion on the connection between having the tendency to clutter your house and collect things and be a bit of a pack rat and the overeating.
Well, I think it's first off, there being a connection, where I would expect the connection to be is, if there was a connection, would be simply that whatever it was that drove your pack ratting
mm-hmm.
might also drive your eating. You know, in terms of whenever somebody does something, this is the way that I think about it. Whatever someone does, whether it's a behavior that you like or a behavior that you don't like, if you do it consistently, it's because at least part of you thinks that it's good for you in some way. It has, in other words, there's always a positive intention behind the behavior, no matter how unproductive the behavior is. When people overeat, it's not because they're bad. It's not because they hate themselves. It's not because they're self-sabotaging. It's because in some way, eating is serving them. And often, as Paul said, it's helping them feel better. It's helping them to relax. It's reducing their stress. It's acting like a sort of a nice little drug mellowing their system. You know, or sometimes
okay.
it's actually dampening their feelings so they just don't feel, which seems to be a good thing because it's got to be better than feeling what I'm feeling.
Right. And I do the emotional eating, and I understood it to be a form of self-sabotaging.
Right. And this is what I'm saying. That's weight loss made your fault. This show's weight loss made fun.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So if there was a positive intention for, let's actually go pack ratting first. If there was a positive intention behind your collecting things and keeping things and hanging on to things and storing things, what would the positive intention be?
Different collections of things I find interesting. Like I like to collect. I have some fossils. I have tons of books. You know, I love books. So, you know, and pretty soon, you know, I have 100 cookbooks and, you know.
Okay, great. So it brings you pleasure. That's one positive benefit.
Right.
So is there anything else that you're aware of, as well as bringing you pleasure, that you know, is the positive intention behind collecting?
Boy, that's a good question. I sometimes think that maybe I'm trying to fill a void.
Okay, great. So there's a sense that there's a void, there's something missing, and this makes it feel less. This makes it feel like, well, no, okay, there's something there.
Right.
Now, isn't it wonderful that there's a part of you that cares enough for you? Again, it's not really separate from you, it's you. But that you care enough for yourself, at least in this way, that you're willing to do something, even something that other people might look at and go, what is she doing? In order to help fill a void, in order to make yourself feel more whole, in order to make yourself, you know, to give yourself enjoyment. Isn't it nice that part of you cares about yourself enough to do something to do that, even if it's not the thing you'd like it to do?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, right. So what about with food? If there was a positive intention to your overeating or to your eating when you're not really hungry or to your eating foods that you don't really want, what would the positive intention be?
My positive intention is a lot of times to nourish my body. I'm in the fitness industry, so I'm very conscious of that. However, I also tend to do mindless eating, and that's where I believe that it's also emotional eating too.
I like the mindless eating thing.
Okay.
So what would be the positive intention? Because I immediately just got a flash of what the positive intention would be if it was me. See, if I was in the fitness industry and I did mindless eating, that would be my inner teenager going, you can't make me fit. You can't make me follow all these stupid rules.
Yeah.
It would be all about freedom for me.
And rebelling, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I don't want to put that in if that's not there for you.
Oh, it's there.
Oh, yeah.
I never related it to this issue, though, because it's there in other parts of my life,
So let me
too.
Talk to, because I'm going to guess, because you're a human being, that you have a creative part as well.
Yes.
So let me talk to the creative part of Karen for a minute. And creative part of Karen. What would be, can you think of at least, and again, it doesn't matter if you come up with it right here while we're talking, but can you think of at least one other way that you could express your freedom?
Through art. I love
Fantastic.
To paint.
Fantastic. And if there's one way, I bet you could think of another way, could you not?
Yes, I do the garden design. I design butterfly gardens and stuff like that.
Okay, and if there's two ways, I bet you can think of the third way, can you not?
I'm sure I could, yes.
Okay. So what I want to invite each of all of you to do, all those parts, is to get together and take a little time. And you might want to just, you know, do this after the show. You can just close your eyes and sit down with yourself and just find a nice feeling inside. Just be with that nice feeling. And just ask the parts of you to come together. And the part of you that wants to be fit and healthy, and the part of you that wants to be free, because it's only rebelling because it wants to be free. It wants to have fun. And get all those parts together with your creative part. And let them come up with as many wonderful ways of your experiencing your wholeness and your freedom as they can. And just allow yourself to be surprised and delighted over the next few weeks when you just notice yourself doing different things. Would you be willing to give that a try just as an experiment?
Oh, absolutely.
Very cool. And please do phone us or email if you go to on the forums at geniuscatalyst.com. You can always check in. Let us know how you get on.
Okay, great. Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you, Karen. It's an absolute pleasure. Okay, we are coming up at the end of yet another show. Just in terms of sort of a last thought, really, I'm going to make the last thought the simplest one, which is if you make weight loss about you, you're going to struggle. If you make it about your character, I'm not disciplined enough, I'm not together enough, I just can't be trusted, I'm not, I'm no good at things like this, I've tried before and failed, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that, it's not going to be much fun, and it's probably going to continue to not be very effective. The minute you simply make it about losing weight, which is going to come down to speeding up your metabolism by moving your body and not dieting, and eating when you're hungry, and stopping when you think you might be full, what you're going to find is the weight will come off. So what I'm really kind of suggesting is the way to make weight loss fun is to keep it about weight loss and not let it start to become about you. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Sunny, Joe, and Steve in the studio for almost getting us through this. And we'll be back with a brand new show next week. Bye-bye for now.